When the Declaration of Independence was signed in 1776, it famously said that all men are created equal. The word men in that statement is being used quite literally. The founding fathers were talking about men, not women. This is the story of how American women have worked bravely, patiently, and sometimes fiercely for hundreds of years to claim the rights they were never simply given. Imagine being told that once you got married, you would no longer exist as a separate person under the law. Sounds like something from a fairy tale gone wrong, doesn't it? But this was real life for women in early America. The colonies followed a set of rules called coverture. Under coverture, when a woman married, her legal identity was covered by her husband's identity. A married woman couldn't own property, control her own money, sign legal documents, or even decide what happened to her own children. Everything belonged to her husband. The law actually said that a husband and wife were one person, and that person was the husband. Unmarried women and widows had more legal rights, but even they couldn't vote, serve on juries, or hold public office. There was no path for a woman, married or single, to have a say in the government that made rules about her life. Even though women were shut out of official politics, they found ways to make a difference. During the Revolutionary War, women didn't just wave goodbye to husbands and sons going off to fight. They kept farms and businesses running all by themselves, protected their family's property, nursed wounded soldiers, sewed uniforms, and cooked for troops. Some women even became spies for the American cause by gathering information about British movements. One such woman, Elizabeth Bergen, helped American prisoners escape from the British in New York. The British were so angry they offered a bounty, or reward, of £200 for her capture. Pounds is the currency used in Britain. Back then, £200 was quite a bit of money. Because of the high reward offered for her capture, there was a lot of interest in finding Bergen. As a result, her friends had to smuggle her out of the city in a whaleboat, which was chased by British boats halfway across the water. Another woman, Deborah Sampson, disguised herself as a man named Robert Shurtliff in 1778 so she could fight in the Continental Army. When she was wounded in her thigh and forehead, she was terrified that doctors would discover she was a woman. Women also organized to raise money and supplies for soldiers. In Philadelphia, a group of women went door to door collecting donations. Not everyone liked this, though. Some people thought it was very improper for ladies to be doing such a thing. In March 1776, just a few months before the Declaration of Independence was written, Abigail Adams wrote a letter to her husband, John Adams, who was helping to plan the new government. In her letter, she made a bold request. "In the new code of laws, which I suppose it will be necessary for you to make, I desire you would remember the ladies and be more generous and favorable to them than your ancestors. Do not put such unlimited power into the hands of the husbands. Remember, all men would be tyrants if they could." Abigail Adams wasn't the only woman thinking about these things. Many educated women of the time, like the historian Mercy Otis Warren, wrote about politics and wondered why they were excluded from the new American experiment in freedom. What does it mean to have rights? It means you have protections under the law. It means you get to make decisions about your own life. It means you have a voice in choosing the people who make the rules. Without these rights, women in early America were dependent on the men in their lives, fathers, husbands, brothers. If a woman was married to an unkind or careless man, she had very few options. She couldn't take her children and leave. She couldn't keep the money she earned. She couldn't even go to court without her husband's permission. The men who created the new United States talked a lot about freedom and liberty and independence from tyrants, but they didn't apply those ideas to women, or to enslaved people, or to many others. This is an example of a blind spot, when people who believe in fairness don't notice unfairness that's right in front of them. It would take many, many years before the laws began to change. The first law allowing married women to own their own property wasn't passed until 1839, more than 60 years after the Declaration of Independence. Women wouldn't gain the right to vote nationwide until 1920, almost 150 years after America was founded. But all along the way, many women kept fighting. They wrote books and pamphlets. They organized meetings. They signed petitions and sent them to lawmakers. They created networks to support each other. Sometimes they had to be very brave, because people who spoke up for women's rights were often laughed at, insulted, or ignored. In the lessons ahead, you'll learn about some of the big moments in this long struggle. A famous meeting in 1848 where women officially declared their rights, the different challenges faced by Black women and Native American women, the surprising ways women served their country during World War II, and the ongoing work for equality today. Throughout American history, women have always been present, always working, always contributing, even when the history books didn't notice them. Learning their stories helps us see the full picture of what America really was and what it has become. Discussion question: Abigail Adams asked her husband to remember the ladies when writing the new laws for America. If you could write a letter to the founding fathers explaining why women's rights should have been included from the beginning, what would you say? What reasons would you give him for why all men are created equal should have meant all people? Continue listening by purchasing the unit study for Women Who Changed America on palacenter.com.